Hey church, welcome to another week of Church Online. We hope and are praying that you are well and that you are healthy. This morning, we're going to be looking into Luke 19, and there we meet a man named Zacchaeus, a man who would have seemed to have it all, yet he was missing something. He found that something when he saw Jesus. In Ecclesiastes 3, King Solomon talks about how God has set eternity on the heart of man. We all have this longing for something greater, this hunger that we fill with things which aren't eternal, things which are finite. We are all missing this something eternal. Today, Al is going to be preaching to us about this question, what am I missing in life? And we will see that later on. In just a second, we're going to hear from one of our members, James, as he talks about his testimony and how he went through this struggle, this question himself. After that, we'll sing a song, then we'll read from the Bible. We'll also spend some time in prayer later on. So as we prepare to do those things, please prepare yourself for that. Make sure that you're in a space which is helpful for you to come humbly before God, to listen to His word, and to be transformed.
Hi, I'm James Lindsay. I attend the church here at St. Andrews. I've been coming to the church for about 2 years, and I first found the church when I first arrived in Hong Kong this time around. Out the bus window, I arrived Saturday night on a flight late at night, taking the bus to my hostel at Chung King Mansions. And I was thinking in my head, I need to find a church for Sunday morning. It's tomorrow morning. And as I was thinking that, I looked out the window of the bus and I saw the glowing cross outside that St. Andrew's Church. And that was my answer. So I figured it's nearby. I'll go there next morning. And I've been going there since. It's been about 2 years. When I was young, even when I was quite young in my teens and early 20s, I always asked the bigger questions about life, like, why am I here? What's the meaning of life? I didn't really have any clear answers. So I grasped to that which was closest to me. That which culture and society kind of dictated was a virtuous or common thing for a young man to do. A lot of the times, I found myself doing sinful things, focusing on my physique, my muscles, focusing on women and having sex before marriage, drugs, alcohol. These things are very common amongst young men especially. And I found myself in those dark times, and I was quite nihilistic. And it was kind of the idea that I had no answers. So my best answer was, life is meaningless. There is no purpose. So I might as well do that which is most pleasurable for me. And I found myself doing that, sinning quite a lot. But where the turning point really was in my life was when I found myself outside of university with my first real job in the middle of Germany in my apartment. I had my dream job. I had the idea of purpose in my life. It was the job, and I had a job title which I thought was, you know, showed how smart I was, for example, and showed my purpose. But at the time, I was let go from my job. It was in that moment of brokenness and nakedness that I came across a live stream sermon on Facebook from a church in the US. The pastor, to me, it caught my eye because the pastor did not look like a pastor to me. I would not expect a pastor to look like what he looked like. In his message, it literally talked to me in that exact moment, my brokenness and nakedness, and how Christ is able to abolish you of your sins, to give you a new life, a new creation, a new birth. And it was in that time that I gave myself over to Christ. And to me, it was the difference between living and not living. Before then, I wasn't living. Before then, I was just doing and reaching and grasping towards that which is closest to me. I was looking for connection. And when I found Christ, it was the connection I was searching for. And since then, my life, it hasn't been the same. It's been life. Before then, it was not. I was in Germany, and now I'm in Hong Kong. I pray to God with the deeper questions about life. I asked him, God, what should I do? And I honestly asked the question in a genuine way. I didn't just ask God, you know, hey, should I do this? Should I do that? You know, is this job good for me? It was more about a surrender. I surrendered myself over to God and I said, Lord, I have no idea what to do. I will walk with you. And from that point onwards, my life has been totally different. I found myself here in Hong Kong 2 years ago, and it's not been easy. It's been definitely a tough journey, but trusting in the Lord, praying to God, believing in Christ and His salvation has enabled me to do things and live a life that I would not be able to live otherwise.
Of my crowns mean nothing to me. facing the cross.
Hi, church. I hope you're doing well. Four brief announcements. Firstly, the resumption of our Sunday services. Like you, I'm very much encouraged by the gradual lifting of social distancing restrictions in Hong Kong, and I'm really looking forward to being able to meet together with you on a Sunday. However, at this stage, we still don't know when that will be. We're waiting for more information from the government and the Anglican province for when we can restart on Sundays. Do stay connected with us for more information. Secondly, our annual church meeting. Under our governing regulations, St. Andrew's has to hold an annual church meeting before the end of May. But because we want to minimise the risk of infection and maximise the participation and presence of our members in this most important event, at the beginning of the scheduled meeting on the 24th of May, a motion will be passed to adjourn the meeting until the 26th of July. Do keep that date, the 26th of July, in your calendar for this important event in the church life. Thirdly, connect. I warmly want to encourage you to continue using the material online prepared for our church for our children's and youth ministries on Sundays and our midweek courses. You can find out more information through the What's On page of the website or our weekly email. And lastly, give. Thank you to all those who are contributing to the ministry of St. Andrew's through an intentional and sacrificial habit of giving. We warmly want to encourage you to continue in that habit. For more information, please have a look at our website. Thanks so much. Looking forward to seeing you again soon.
We're going to jump into the Word now. Today's reading is from Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was so short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
We're continuing our series, Tough Questions, and today we're asking the question, what am I missing in life? Now, the question presupposes that we're all looking for something. Obviously, people have basic needs like food and shelter and clothing, but everyone is looking for more than that, for meaning and purpose and love. Even Friedrich Nietzsche, the philosopher most associated with nihilism and meaninglessness, said, "To live is to suffer. To survive is to find some meaning in the suffering." Everyone is looking for meaning and for purpose at some kind of level. Now, in previous years, society was quicker to acknowledge that meaning and purpose ultimately came through the transcendent, through God. But in these postmodern days, so often society is looking to try and create meaning aside from reference to God, in purely immanent terms with reference to the world around us, the material world. Now, there are lots of ways to try and do that. It could be through a loving relationship with a significant other, or through family, or work, or pleasure, or an appreciation of beauty and the arts, or most likely a combination of these different things. But so often, though, when you speak to people about their quest for meaning, instead of saying that all of these things gave them a sense of fulfillment, they talk about a sense of dissatisfaction and emptiness. Some of the most famous songs of the last century spoke about the sense of dissatisfaction and emptiness. Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." Bono from U2, "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." Bob Dylan, "The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind." When it comes to the quest for meaning and purpose, it can feel like we're trying to grab hold of the wind. We just can't get a hold of it. And actually, when it comes to that feeling of emptiness, it's not just something that other people feel and other people sing about. We've all had that sense of anticlimax because we've all got our own quests for meaning which have let us down and haven't delivered. Well, in today's passage, we meet a character who reaches the point of realization that his quest for meaning hasn't worked out. And he turns to the only person who can help him, Jesus Christ. We're going to split our passage up into three different sections. First, a dissatisfied man. Now, we come across a guy called Zacchaeus, who lived in the city of Jericho. Now, when Jesus talked, he traveled around, and he was on his way to Jerusalem when he passed through Jericho. As was often the case, a crowd gathered to hear him speak, and Zacchaeus was in the crowd. And we're told that Zacchaeus was a wealthy chief tax collector. Now, that means we can be fairly confident that Zacchaeus was seeking meaning and purpose in life through money. He wanted to get rich, and collecting tax was the way that he did it. Now, in those days, tax collectors were all crooks. Zacchaeus was working for the Roman authorities. Now, the Roman authorities didn't really care how he collected the tax. All they cared about was that they received the money. So invariably, tax collectors would take a large cut of the money. They might have been working with local mafia to force people to pay up, and they were essentially stealing the money from their own people. Zacchaeus was a corrupt official. He was a corrupt official, but in his case, crime had paid. His life was all about making money, and he was incredibly rich. We can picture him living in Hong Kong. He'd have several luxury apartments and villas dotted all across the city. He'd have a magnificent yacht in the marina, a fleet of expensive cars, a very healthy investment portfolio. He'd be spending a lot of time on the golf courses, lowering his handicap, and he could take early retirement whenever he wanted. His life was all about making money, and he'd done it. He'd reached his dream. Except that it wasn't enough. Maybe it was the creeping realization that money can't buy you everything. Maybe it was the lingering guilt at the back of his mind as he thought about all those people that he'd hurt as he climbed his way to the top. Whatever it was, that day that Jesus arrived in Jericho, he went out to listen to him. The only problem is that Zacchaeus was really short and he couldn't see over everyone else. And so we're told about this rather ridiculous situation. This well-heeled official in his Armani suit, running ahead of the crowd, and of all things, climbing a fig tree, in order to get a better view of Jesus. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's ludicrous. But it shows that the penny had dropped for him, that he'd reached that point of realization that all of the money that he had just simply wasn't enough. It's always the way. And in recent years, it's become quite common for celebrities to speak of that sense of emptiness, of disappointment, of depression even, as they've reached the very top. Take, for instance, Tom Brady. If you don't know who Tom Brady is, he's an American football player. He's a quarterback. The quarterback's the guy, he's at the back and who throws the ball and who runs the whole game. Now, Brady is one of the most successful athletes of all time. He's won 6 Super Bowl rings. That's a really big deal in America. He is inspirational to hundreds of millions of people all across the globe. They look up to him. But listen to what he said after he won his 3rd Super Bowl in an interview. "A lot of times, I think I get very frustrated and introverted. And there's times where I'm not the person that I want to be. Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, I reached my goal, my dream, my life. Me, I think it's got to be more than this. I think it's very courageous and honest of Brady to open up like that about those feelings of emptiness, despite all his wins that spurred him on to try and achieve more. But it's always the way. You see, the Bible tells us that we're created for a loving relationship with the God who made us. We find our meaning and our purpose in Him. And all of the things in this world, be they sports or career or family, all of those good things, they find their meaning and their purpose in and through a relationship with the Creator God. But sadly, so often people try to cut the Creator God out of the picture and enjoy the created things in and of themselves, almost to elevate them to a godlike status. The Bible calls that idolatry. We're all guilty of that at some level. We have our quest for meaning. We go after things that we hope will give us that sense of meaning and purpose. We strive after those things. Maybe even they give us some measure of success or enjoyment, but afterwards there's always that slump, that anticlimax, and then we're spurred on to keep trying again. Would you recognize that cycle in your life? Or maybe you're trying to strive at the moment. You're saying to yourself that if I just work hard enough for the next few years, then I'm going to be able to reach my dream. Or maybe you're at that point of success. You're basking in that momentary glow of actually having reached your dream. Or maybe you're in the slump. You're feeling the disappointment of not having achieved your goal. Or maybe you achieved your goal, but you still feel empty. And so you're spurred on to try and set new goals, new dreams, and to strive after those in the hope that somehow they'll fill the void, but they never do. Do you recognize that cycle in your life? It never works. And Zacchaeus has finally reached that point of realization. His life was all about money, but it hadn't worked. And so he turned to the one person who could help him, Jesus. But actually, the dissatisfaction that he was feeling in his life was not his big problem. And that brings us on to our second point. Second, a saved man. So there Zacchaeus was, literally up a fig tree, scuffing his Armani suit and scratching his Patek Philippe watch, when Jesus comes over and looks at him and says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. I want to spend some time with you." And off the two of them go to grab some lunch. Now, to us, that might just seem like the next stage in the story. But the crowd were absolutely horrified, and they start to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." You see, in Middle Eastern culture, spending time with another person, eating a meal together, was very much a sign of approval. So you can imagine the crowd saying to one another, "Doesn't Jesus know? Doesn't Jesus know that this man is sold out to the enemy, the Romans? Doesn't Jesus know that this man is in league with the mafia? Doesn't Jesus know that this man has stolen from the poor and the destitute in our community in order to build his luxury villas? This man is a public enemy. He deserves God's judgment." And actually, they were right about all of that. You see, Zacchaeus' quest for meaning and purpose had led him down a dark path. His life was all about money, but money had deceived him. It had failed to satisfy, and it was in the process of destroying him. It had twisted his character. It had led him into all kinds of evil. He had hurt himself, and he was hurting other people. Worst of all, it brought him under God's judgment. You see, the Bible tells us that God has set a day in the future when He's going to judge this world, when He's going to punish all of those who've done wrong. And Zacchaeus was very much deserving of that punishment. He might have felt dissatisfied and empty, but that wasn't the big issue in his life. The big issue in his life was that he deserved God's judgment. Well, the same is true today. People might feel that sense of emptiness and dissatisfaction. That can be frustrating, it can be depressing even, but that's not the big problem in this world. The big problem is that everyone who's turned their back on God deserves to come under His judgment. Well, that was true for Zacchaeus, and the crowd were absolutely right. Zacchaeus deserved God's judgment. They were right about that, but they were wrong about something far more important. They were wrong about God, and they were wrong about Jesus and why he came, that Jesus loves to seek and to save the undeserving. That's the scandal of the gospel, is that God welcomes in the people who really don't deserve it. And it's summarized so well in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Let me read it for us. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man is just one of Jesus' names for himself. And it tells us here why Jesus came. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus was totally, totally lost. He was seeking meaning through money. It had deceived him. It was destroying him. He was on his way to God's judgment. He wasn't reaching out for God, but Jesus went seeking for him. He called him down from that fig tree and he went to spend time with him. That's the wonder of God's love. The Bible says that we're all lost, that like sheep, we've all gone astray, that we've all gone on our own way, that we've been on a quest for meaning and purpose and love, but that as a result, we've been deceived and we deserve to be destroyed, to come under God's judgment. But Jesus came to seek those who are lost and to save them. And he did that when he died on the cross. When he died on the cross, he paid the penalty for everyone who trusts in him. He paid the penalty for Zacchaeus' sins. That despite the fact that Zacchaeus had committed all kinds of evil, when Jesus died there, he paid the price so that Zacchaeus could go free. His sins were washed away. Well, maybe you're listening in today and you know that you're lost. You know that you've been on a quest for meaning and that has taken you down a dark path and you've done bad things. And maybe you think to yourself, well, actually, I'm too far gone for God. Well, that is simply not true. Jesus comes to seek and to save the lost. There's no one who's too far gone. He forgave Zacchaeus and he's willing to forgive you. All that you need to do is to come to him and to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. And I'm trusting in your death and your resurrection, and he'll forgive you. Or maybe you're a Christian, and like all of us, you've done things in the past that you're ashamed of. In your quest for meaning and purpose, you've embraced evil. You've hurt yourself. You've scarred other people, and you're plagued. You're haunted by those memories. Well, brother, sister, you're forgiven. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. If you're trusting in him, your sins are all washed away. Zacchaeus was lost. Jesus came looking for him and he saved him. He saved him and he transformed him. And that brings us on to our third point. Third, a changed man. Jesus had forgiven Zacchaeus. He'd started this work of transformation, but this is also very much something that Zacchaeus needs to partner in. You see, before his life had been all about money and he'd do anything to get it. But now he was leaving that old way in the past. Now, the Bible calls this repentance. It's not just saying that we're sorry. It means changing as well. Well, everyone knew that Zacchaeus had been a crook. And so he stood up and he made a speech. His life wasn't going to be about money anymore. It was going to be about Jesus. And so to show that, he was going to give half of his fortune away to the poor. And he wanted to make it up to all of the people that he'd hurt and wronged. And so he promised to pay back four times over from anyone who he had taken. Now, it wasn't that Zacchaeus was required to make these payments. Instead, that represented and that showed a natural reordering of priorities in his heart. He was blown away by God's love for him. And he knew that he needed to make a drastic break with his old way of living. Now, that's always the pattern in the Christian life. It's leaving behind that old, selfish, destructive ways of living and living in a new, loving way for Jesus. And that was true for Nicky Cruz. Nicky Cruz was the leader of a gang back in the 1950s in New York, where he and his gang members sought meaning in life through sex and drugs and violence. miraculously, through the work of a street evangelist called David Wilkerson, Nicky and several of his other gang members all gave their life to Jesus. That meant a drastic change in their lives. And one of the first things that they did was to march into the local police station and to hand over all of their guns and knives and weapons. As you can imagine, the policemen were absolutely stumped. It was actually quite fortunate that they didn't see the gang members coming, otherwise they might have opened fire. Nicky went on to train to be a pastor, and he went back to his old neighborhood in order to reach out with the good news of Jesus to the gang members there and to help them to escape drug addiction. See, that's always the pattern of giving your life to Jesus. It's making a break with those old, destructive, selfish ways of living. But it might seem less drastic than the example of Zacchaeus or Nicky Cruz, but that's always the basic pattern that is in place. Well, maybe you're exploring what it means to live the Christian life. And repentance is always the first step and the ongoing way of living for the Christian. Now, sometimes that can seem quite costly. It's not that Christians are earning their way into heaven or paying for their salvation. No, Jesus has done that through his death and resurrection. Rather, it's responding to God's immense love for us. But that's something that Christians need to keep on doing all of their lives through. You know, if you're anything like me, then from time to time, well, it's easy to look around and to think that as Christians, we are missing out on things in this world. It's easy to get sucked back into old habits that we had in the past, to get drawn in to the value system of the world around us, to be distracted by the frenetic pace of everyday life. When that happens, it's possible to start functionally idolizing the things of this world, even though we're meant to be living for Jesus. So we do well to follow the example of Zacchaeus. He wanted to be all in terms of living for Jesus. And he was willing to make those big, drastic breaks with the past. And we should be asking ourselves, well, what are the big, drastic changes we can make in our lives to help us to live for Jesus? Or we should be making big changes, and we should also be focusing our eyes on the future, to the new heavens and the new earth. That ultimately, those desires for fulfillment will only be completely met in the new heavens and the new earth, when we meet God and we live with him eternally. We're just passing through this world. We need to fix our eyes on the future, and we also need to, day by day, draw near to Jesus. It's as we open his word day by day and hear his voice, it's as we respond in prayer and in worship that we find true fulfillment, because that's what we were made for. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to seek and to save the lost. Thank you that even though we've all gone our own futile and destructive quests for meaning, that there's forgiveness through your death and resurrection. Help us, we pray, to follow Zacchaeus' example of making radical breaks with the past. And help us, we pray, to daily draw near to you as we seek meaning and purpose and fulfillment. We ask in your name. Amen.
Hi, church. Come and join me in prayer. Isaiah 55:6-7 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Dear Lord, we praise you, for you are a loving, merciful God and sustainer of all. We thank you, Lord, for inviting us to count on your presence and to seek your help. And when we seek you, you will show up, not with condemnation, but with mercy and pardon. Lord, soften our hearts and still our fears, that we might turn to you in all things, in all areas of our lives, seeking your will and your guidance. Lord, help us to do what we can and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, we pray for the world. We pray for Brazil as it struggles to respond to the growing challenge of COVID-19. We pray for an effective government response and for the restraint of the virus. We thank you, Lord, for the growth of the evangelical churches in Brazil. We pray that the church will be strengthened in sound doctrine and for the raising up of godly leaders and for the effective witness of Christians, especially in these anxious times. Lord, we pray for the plight of the refugees and those struggling in war-torn and violent countries. We pray for their protection and provisions, and that their needs are made known in these times when all eyes are on COVID-19. Now, with many countries looking to lift restrictions and easing downs, we pray, Lord, for wisdom for government authorities in how they manage this process, that it may be done in ways that both minimize risk and enable people to resume some normality in life. Lord, we pray for Hong Kong. We give thanks for the diligence and care of health workers and for the gradual ending to social distancing restrictions. We pray for wisdom for the government authorities as they decide on the timing of the lifting of restrictions. Lord, we pray for those who are particularly afflicted by the economic slowdown, for those who've lost income or their jobs, for the homeless and the poor, for those who've found the social distancing particularly difficult, for families in small homes, for the couples whose marriages are under pressure, for parents and children struggling with homeschooling, for the elderly who are not able to receive regular support from their families. We pray, Lord, for their provision and perseverance. Lord, we pray for our Church St. Andrews, for our Putonghua ministry led by Reverend Sokhan Yong. We thank you, Lord, for this community and the opportunities they have to grow in faith and share their faith with others. May they be bound together in Christ's love and continue to encourage one another. Lord, we pray that St. Andrews would continue to be a community of mutual support and love for one another. Even though we come from different backgrounds, we have a deep common bond in Christ Jesus. In these difficult times, we pray, Lord, that we would stay connected to one another, provide practical care, and point one another and others to Jesus. May your love, Lord, overflows in us and through us, that we take these difficult times as an opportunity to share your love and the gospel to those who are seeking for security, provision, and true hope. Lastly, Lord, we pray for our mission partners that seek to care for the needs of the poor in Hong Kong, especially Christian Action Center for Refugees, St. Barnabas, and ICM. We pray for their provisions and witness. Lord, we leave all of these prayer requests to you. May your will be done. And in our lives, Lord, may your will be done. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
That brings us to the end of our time together today. We hope that you enjoyed it. We hope that you've been transformed by it. We hope to see you again soon as well. Bye-bye.